Hello, respected viewers. I'm George from Ireland. Thank you for coming back to the channel. And I want to see your comments as I'm going on. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Well, Donald Trump seemed to be taking a script from Putin more or less yet again. That meeting in Alaska was not as cataclysmic for Ukraine as some feared, but got no concessions out of Russia, didn't even ask for concessions, and Russia's going back to the root causes of Ukraine, which for them, they consider like freedom to be a root cause. The Ukrainians getting what they want, like a free press, fair elections, independent courts, all that's the cause of conflict because of Putin's violent intolerance of democracy. Good as this is a security threat to Ukraine. No, you've turned it around. Russia's a security threat to the world with their attempt at genocide in Ukraine. You know, massacres like Bucha in northern Ukraine, these atrocities, which there's total impunity, deliberately targeting civilians again and again. Hello, Qasim. Well, there's such a thing as a shower and a comb. That's what happened to the curly hair. But don't worry if we're back. It's not seriously curly. Because he's up some curls. Is it this side? Anyhow. So then the meeting in Washington, D.C. with President Volodymyr Zelensky. Remember what happened last time he went to the White House, but he brought a lot of European leaders with him to back him up. I was a bit worried from Zelensky's point of view. Would Putin feel this was ganging up on him? Now, Keir Starmer manages to have a good working relationship with Trump, despite almost everything that Trump says being enough to make Starmer vomit. But Starmer said to hold it in. The man with no emotion finds that surprisingly easy to play a poker face. Giorgia Meloni, one of the European leaders who Trump finds more acceptable, the Chancellor of Germany, Friedrich Merz, President Emmanuel Macron of France, and so on. So they're all there to give moral support to Zelensky. So talks in the White House, the security guarantees, because the trouble is, if Ukraine does cede territory to Russia, and they think about doing it de facto, not legally recognizing the occupied territories as Russian soil, they're just worried that Putin will wait for the opportune moment and then attack again and try and take the whole of Ukraine. Remember, that was a stated objective on day one of the war. That press release that was published in the communique said, that's it, we've done it. We've united Russia, Ukraine, and Belarus. They wanted to annihilate Ukraine as a state. They attempted the erasure of Ukrainian identity and saying that Ukraine is not even a language. It's a dialect, which is preposterous. It's closer to Polish than it is to Russian, and so forth. And Putin saying, well, what about this treaty in the 15th century, ignoring all the other treaties since, including the one that he signed himself, the 2003 Russo-Ukrainian treaty on the state border, a treaty recognizing even Crimea as part of Ukraine. And if you say Crimea is Ukrainian, that is 14 years in jail in Russia. Putin himself will go to jail for 14 years under his own law. Anyway, they've managed to keep Trump on side for now. They've got to have security guarantees, as in foreign troops there, so that there's a tripwire. If Russia invades again, they'll bump into soldiers from Germany, Italy, France, United Kingdom, maybe other countries, maybe Canada, Australia, whatever, so that Russia think that'd be the Third World War, be far more formidable. Because these troops wouldn't send a lot of foreign troops, you know, several thousand from each country, 10 or 20 countries, might be 100,000 troops max, given that Ukraine's got about 1 million in the field. I mean, that's a significant boost. But the one thing is then the assets, because they're their air forces and so on, and they've got more modern planes. Ukrainian aviation's like a generation behind. Yeah, Western countries have donated fighter jets and so on, but these are often things which have almost come at the end of their service life, 20 years on the clock. And they're not airworthy that much longer. So, goodness. So the strategy is, can there be some sort of security guarantees with the United States guarantee? Yeah, we will fight for Ukraine if Ukraine's invaded again. But remember, there's that 1994 Budapest memorandum where the United Kingdom and the USA persuaded the Ukrainians to give up their nuclear weapons, hand them over to Russia for free in return for security guarantees. Well, what happened to that? So the United States is legally and morally bound to defend Ukraine. Okay, not necessarily to fight, but to arm them, to fund them, to provide intelligence and so on. And the United Kingdom likewise. And obviously the Ukrainians must be kicking themselves. If we hadn't got rid of nukes, we wouldn't be in this situation now. And it shows you where you get when you trust Moscow, though surely the most dishonest government in the world. Everybody lies, every government lies, but you know, they're different levels of lying. And Russia's dishonesty is just off the charts. not for the frequency, just for the frequency of the lies, but the absolute whoppers of the lies, claiming that up is down, and so on. So it seems to be going reasonably well. They're chatting in the Oval Office, and all the rest of it. What's the outcome going to be? So they want those security guarantees, and that's one that they would say, okay, of course they'd like to reclaim the illegal occupied territories, but let's be frank, Ukraine doesn't have the military strength to do so. They're being pushed back all the time. And they want to end this war before, even more people are killed. Just recovering those territories is just not a goer. They're irrecoverable, sadly. So they say no justice, no peace. But it's actually the other way around. We give up some justice in order to have peace. Justice would be Ukraine to get all its land back, Russia to pay reparations for this illegal war of unprovoked invasion, obviously exchange of prisoners, obviously the 30,000 or so Ukrainian children kidnapped by Russia returned to their children, and all the war criminals, Russian and Ukrainian, maybe other nationalities, to stand trial for what they've done. But sadly, most of that's not going to happen. And politics is the art of the possible. So Ukraine to save the rump of Ukraine, that's it. And maybe in a better day, in decades to come, or maybe centuries to come, something will happen. So some prisons of exchange. But yeah, it's very difficult. I mean, the idea is there'll be a ceasefire before peace, and Putin has played Trump along, not done the ceasefire, not done the ceasefire again and again, declared ceasefires, which he totally hasn't observed, just carried on bombing as usual. But now say, well, let's have permanent peace immediately and not a ceasefire first. Trump's was so ill prepared for that meeting with Putin. I remember Henry A. Kissinger, evil, evil bastard, and all the rest of it. But he knew what he was talking about, saying that the meeting between the head of states has to come at the end of the process, not the beginning. The backroom boys have thrashed it all out. They've dotted every I and crossed every T. We all know that. And all that remains is simply to sign off on it and not to be but trying to begin this process. And it was handing a big win to Putin by meeting him at all. The prestige and so on, so much of diplomatic isolation. Obviously, Russia really wants those sanctions lifted. Now, yes, they seized Ukraine, they seized Ukrainian Crimea. We're back in 2014. There were some limited sanctions then, which weren't lifted. They wanted them lifted, they weren't lifted. And say, well, we can stop fighting and blah, blah, blah. But the sanctions could remain, some of them, all of them, but until what? What would Russia have to do? Clearly, handing back all the illegally occupied territory, they're not going to do. One thing is, there are some winners from the sanctions as well as losers. There are countries like Azerbaijan and so on that are making more money than they would before because of these sanctions, or countries that are helping Russia to evade sanctions. So, Armenia, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, buying sanctioned items, items which Russia is not allowed to purchase, selling them on for a markup to Russia is very, very easy. Turkish Airlines, because people can't fly between Russia and Western Europe. People from Russia flying to Turkey, changing planes and onto Western Europe and so on. Anyway, what do you think? Thanks for watching the channel. All right, toodle pip and goodbye.